pitch, Adam Frazier. Swing and a line drive into right field. That's down into the corner, a base hit, and the Mariners are going to take the lead. Rowley scores. It's 10-9 Seattle on an RBI double from Adam Frazier. The Mariners are all the way back from a 7-run deficit. They have taken a 10-9 lead here at Rogers Center.
Could I have left Kevin Gausman in? Sure. You know, the information that we had and the time, you know, at that time, wanting to get Tim Mesa in the seventh spot to get him out at Julio if it got to that point at the top, that was what we had decided on. That was the best thing for our team. I don't want to say it's a learning process for me because it's an excruciating playoff loss for the organization and it sucked. But, you know, I think Bo has said it, where you have to learn how to lose together in order to win together, and that's where we're at right now.
All right, it will go down in history as one of the greatest playoff flops, Blue Jays history, Mariners history, the 10-9 win, game two of the playoff series last year at the Rogers Center will go down as one of the great comebacks of all time. Of course, the play that kind of set the stage for it is that, and I mean, we can close our eyes and still see it, Kevin, because we were in the press box for that inning, but that J.P. Crawford kind of bloop that falls between Bo and George Springer. Bo's elbow hits George Springer in the noggin.
Here comes the cart.
Here comes the cart to take George Springer off. And at that point, you could really tell.
That George Springer was going to play right next year.
You could tell that George Springer was going to play right.
You could think it.
It's Blair and Barker. The Mariners are in town for the first of a 3-game series against the Blue Jays. Of course, it is the first time they've met since the Jays got to see the Mariners tear up the pitcher's mound and celebrate on the field after that 10-9 win that sent them on to face the Houston Astros. Lots has changed since then. You heard John Schneider in an interview with our Hazel May talking about the decision to take Kevin Gausman out of the game, bring in Tim Mesa. Tim Mesa bearing a large amount of the responsibility for that, particular meltdown by the Blue Jays. Couple of things to talk about. And of course, it is the first game between these teams as well since the Teoscar Hernandez trade was made. Teoscar Hernandez for Eric Swanson and Adam Mako. And I know, Kevin, you're just dying to give me Teoscar Hernandez's stats.
I don't really have. Well, they're not real good, but he's hitting homers.
That's what I was getting at. Hitting home runs. The Jays, of course, one of the things they decided after that game was that they needed more balance in their lineup. Kevin, you talked about it. It's not so much just lefty righty balance, getting a left-handed hitter for the sake of getting a left-handed hitter. I mean, it's about guys who different swing paths and all that stuff. But one thing it did do, the Jays were right-handed heavy last year. And what that meant essentially is for pitchers, it all kind of ran together for opposing pitchers, right?
Sinker
there really wasn't a change.
Away. Sinker
right.
and slider away. Sinker and slider
it
away.
It all ran together because there's nothing. Here's another right-handed hitter. Oh, here's another right-handed hitter. Here's another right-handed hitter. So that sets the stage for tonight's game. It's Alec Manoah and Luis Castillo in a rematch of the first game of that series. So I'm just going to ask you a simple question right now. And we'll open the back leg line at 416-413-3959 as well for later on in the show. We'll ask you, the listeners, this very simple question. Kevin, I'll ask you it right now, too. Are the Jays better now? This year's Blue Jays team, are they a better team than the team that lost those games to the Seattle Mariners?
I think the rotation's better. I think their lineup can be better if Varsho ever figures out what Varsho is. Like, that's a big deal, right? You mentioned the balance. You mentioned sinker in, slider away. Well, you don't really have to do that now with Varsho, right? You can throw him sinker away, slider in, and you can elevate a heater with two strikes, right? It's not the balance right now. It's just sort of not working out for the Blue Jays. So those lefties that they brought in have to do some things. The bullpen, we've talked about this. Well, we've said this, and we don't want to keep harping on it. They are a good enough bullpen to make the playoffs. Is the bullpen, because basically it is the exact same bullpen it was last year, except one guy. And the one guy was on the other team that beat them that never pitched for the other team.
in the playoffs.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? For me, they need to make some adjustments there, maybe add another guy, an eighth inning guy. We've talked about this. Are they better than they were last year? I think they're more experienced. I think they know how to handle ups and downs a little bit more, which when you have a lot of talent like the Jays do, that's sort of the final piece, is to know how to keep it from getting out of control. I think they've been there and done it, and I think that is what John's talking about there, and Bo Bichette said that, you know, sometimes you need to lose to know who you are as a team, as a player. I think they've done that. The losing is officially needs to be over for them, and they need to go on and start winning games that they're supposed to be winning. But that's a tough question to answer. I'm not sure that I have an answer for that just yet.
I do.
Go for it.
There's one area where this team is demonstrably better.
Defense.
Outfield defense.
Yeah.
Now, I know you can never predict things with absolute certainty. But if Kevin Kiermaier is in center field and Dalton Varsho is in left field, that ball gets caught. Is that too simplistic to say?
I think if they would have had a couple better arms to go to, maybe the outcome would have looked a little different. Again, this is a very tough question to answer.
Sure it is.
In a positive way or a negative way. Do I think they're close to the same team they were last year? That's another good question.
Let me boil this down.
Basically, other than Kikuchi, who has turned into what they thought he was going to turn into, and Chris Bassett, they're basically the same exact team, other than an added Swanson in the bullpen. Like the lefties right now, have they done what they wanted them to do to start the season?
Have they replaced
the balance of the line? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. Yes, yeah, that's what they needed. They needed that pitcher to have to throw a third pitch,
right,
not just two pitches in the same spot over and over and over, because they're in the big leagues for a reason. And once you get to the playoffs, that's when you need to have a guy do something other than those two things. Playoffs is a long way away. Dalton Varsho could figure some things out. Brandon Belt could turn into whatever Brandon Belt's going to turn into. Kevin Kiermaier, I think we know what he is. He's been around a long time. What his numbers are probably what his numbers are consistently every single year when the season's over. So you sort of know what he is. He's here for the defensive side of it. To put George Springer in right field, he can do the thing in center field and catch balls they're supposed to be catching. Offensively, though, is the question, right? And the lefties that matter. That's why your question is a really good one, but it's really hard to answer.
Teoscar Hernandez was the Blue Jays' run producer last year.
I mean, Bo was there because he was hitting cleanup for a reason. Right, there was...
He
was one of them.
He was the cleanup hitter last year.
He was one of them.
Yeah. Dalton Varsho and Matt Chapman have gotten the lion's share of the work in the cleanup spot. Dalton Varsho, I think we can agree, for this lineup to be really good, it's really going to come down to Dalton Varsho right now, isn't it? I mean, Bo and Vladdy are, you know, they're the aircraft carriers, all of that stuff. But for this lineup to be better than last year's lineup, Dalton Varsho has to come through for this team, does he not?
Yeah.
And what have you seen from him?
I'm going to read these numbers. I'll tell you. I really don't want to read them because they're not good. Like he's basically gotten off to the worst start you could get off to as a guy being traded over who they're putting in the cleanup
offensively
spot.
Offensively, he has.
We know he's an athlete. He plays great defense. Okay. He runs the bases.
We'll leave that off the table. We're just talking offense.
Not, right. Yeah, he's hitting cleanup to drive in runs and produce. He only has 86 at-bats. I want to start with that. He goes 3-for-4 tonight, which will be tough. That dude he's facing is really, really good. Like, to know that coming into this thing, you have to be short and quick to the ball is that's all you need to tell yourself. If you don't, he's going to take you behind the woodshed. So I do want to tell that first. 86 at-bats, 1-3-for-4. I won't read these numbers anymore. But the first 86 at-bats, he's hitting 167 versus righties. He's hitting 129 versus relievers. He's hitting 143 with runners in scoring position. These are two big things, if I were struggling, that I'd want to look at right here. Ahead in the count, he's hitting 200. Behind in the count, he's hitting 194. Versus the fastball, he's hitting 208. Versus the breaking ball, he's hitting 222. Versus off speed, which this guy tonight has a nasty changeup. That's been getting hit a little bit, but it's nasty. He's going to throw it to a lefty. 0.91. Mm. Not great.
No.
You ain't putting a bunch of those in play. On the season, he's hitting 198 with two homers and five RBIs. He has 11 walks, 25 strikeouts. And again, I say that 86 at bat thing. The 11 walks, right, if you add those to those, he's walking enough to keep it to 86, right? Every hitter early in the season, we'll talk to Chipper about this. Yep.
Chipper Jones first, joining us in the bottom,
first 100,
bottom the of the hour.
The first 100 at-bats is the most important, right? You're trying to figure out everything, and after the next 100, it gets harder for that average to go up in a hurry, right? You got to get two instead of just getting one for it to go up. So that's what I said. The 86 at-bats is a big deal. Again, he could go 3-for-4 tonight. We wouldn't be having this conversation. But just with those numbers there and the changes he's made with his lower half, and it is a performance-driven thing, I get it. It's 86 at-bats, and they don't really have any other options. The question is, do you move him down just because it's performance-driven? I'm not saying because – Dan Shulman came on our show yesterday and gave a great answer, right, that you don't want to have two lefties in a row. I think just by performance and the way this is sort of looking, I think you throw that out the window. You put your best hitters up front. If I got five, I think they're five, and I got a better one than I think this. And we'll ask John Snyder. He's coming on later.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ask him in a nice way so he'll answer it the way he's supposed to answer it.
I mean, a lot will depend tonight, first of all, on George Springer's availability before you do anything with this lineup.
That would absolutely.
George left the game on Wednesday after getting hit in the hand.
He might be hitting third tonight instead of cleanup.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what John did, has done recently, he'll just move everybody up one. Bo goes up to the leadoff spot. Vladdy hits second. Farsho hits third. Chapman moves into the cleanup spot. That's, again, we don't know. We know that the x-rays on George Springer's hand was negative. You know, maybe we'll find out today if there's been anything further. Certainly yesterday's day off would have given the swelling a chance to settle down. But, I mean, that has to be decided before anything else decided. But your thesis is that, I mean, it still holds. What are the options? And right now... Dalton Varsho's got to sink or swim offensively.
Kirky would go there. Does Kirky at bats look like he's going to go to where we saw Kirky go last year, today, tomorrow, the next day? That's what you have to ask yourself. Does his bat look quicker? You know, he has said out loud that it's the spring training and he needs the at bats and he didn't have them and now he's trying to figure it out. And that's why the bat speed looked the way it looked early in the season. I'm with you. I think this lineup will go almost as far as Dalton Varsho will take them because of who's hitting in front of
them. And I'm going to rephrase that. This
No.
Because this lineup will go as far as Vladdy and Bo takes it. For this lineup to get better, a lot depends on Dalton Varsho improving. For this lineup to get better than it is right now.
I'll ask you if I'm an opposing manager and Vladdy and Dalton Varsho are hitting back-to-back, big spot, I got first base open. Who am I pitching to?
Well, come on.
That's my point. That's the point you got to ask yourself is, I want to say it and continue to say it, 86 at-bats. He goes 2-for-3, 3-for-4 tonight. Though all these numbers start to go way up. But the first 86 at-bats plus the 11 walks he had has not been good. You can sugarcoat it any way you want to sugarcoat it. And
winning.
I know what
Yet
they
they're
are.
Winning.
They're a
winning.
Really good team because of their rotation. Their rotation is legit. We can start to say that now. Like, it's starting to be exactly why people, Jeff Passan, picked them to win the World Series. It wasn't because of their lineup, which helps. It's because of those five guys, at least those first three, and in those two unknowns, if you could get something from them and take a giant step, absolutely, that would be the separator from everybody else in the American League. And I think that's why, at least if I were going to pick them, that's why I would have picked them. Wouldn't have been because of their lineup. Might have been helping with their outfield defense, which is the great point that you made. But for me, it's their rotation. And it's now you're just trying to figure out little things to help it move along and make it easier for these guys not to always have to be perfect.
Is there any, I mean, I don't like asking you this question because
but you're gonna.
I'm gonna. And it sounds like a hockey question, but I'm gonna ask it anyhow.
Did they win or lose?
I don't know. I know the Jets lost.
Did they really?
No, they stink. They need to blow that thing up. Anyhow, is there going to be any added desire, you know, on the part of the Blue Jays after what happened last year, seeing these guys? Because, you know, a lot of these guys stayed out and watched them celebrate on the field and everything like that.
Were they not supposed to celebrate?
Well, no, that was fine, actually. I had no problem with that. But do you think that there will be anything said by John Schneider or anybody?
Like what? I screwed up by taking the starting pitcher out.
Go get him, boys.
Ignore what I did and go get him. The end of April. Come on. I mean,
go get him.
This is like, it's a marathon in baseball. This is why I almost didn't want to read those stats from Dalton. It is a marathon, not a sprint.
Guys really don't give a rat's ass about about what happened last year. That's what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't. For what reason? How would it help you?
Yeah. I'm not certain it would. I just thought I'd ask the question. Revenge.
John Snyder's going to go back and find the article that Jeff Blair wrote about Mariners and hang it right in the middle of the clubhouse so everybody can read it when they walk by it. My bats are going to get better. Now I'm going to throw strike one more. Going to be more efficient.
I'm going to catch the ball this time.
It's a very easy way to speak about a baseball team when...
I know, but it's you know, it's a thing.
The Jays are a really good team. They know if they get good pitching because of the way their lineup can attack.
The Mariners, by the way, are 11-14. They've gotten off to a slow start. They already have lost Robbie Ray for the season. He's going to need surgery.
That makes me sad.
To address, me too.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he is a good dude.
He is.
I have a lot of time for him.
I do too.
Need surgery to repair a flexor tendon, so Robbie Ray's done for the year. As I mentioned, 11-14, a slowish start in a division that might be a little tougher than people originally thought it was going to be.
Balanced schedule. They got 7 one-run losses. They have 6 losses out of the bullpen. 6 losses out of the pen, which means your pen's not been as good as you thought it would be starting the season. Those 7 one-run losses, and they got some guys in their lineup. We just talked about the Blue Jays lineup. It's only 1 or 2 guys, but Raleigh only has 2 homers. Suarez only has 2 homers. J.P. Crawford only has 1 homer. Ty France, who I'm a giant fan of.
You're a huge fan of, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the bat-to-ball skills, line-to-line, has 1 homer. There it is, right? Like expectations of trying to back it up year to year. They got really good pitching. They're 10th in baseball in ERA. They're really good. I mean, the guy throwing tonight for them that's about as elite as it's going to come. Like, you're going to have to be real special with your mechanics facing a dude like this. You're going to see some big daddy hacks from Vladdy. Some big ones off this guy tonight. So, yeah, look, they have a lot of talent. They have really, 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 really good pitching. If they can just figure out how to hit a little bit better, they're going to be right there at the end of the year. At least for me, anyway.
Chipper Jones will join us in a few minutes.
I'm excited about that.
That'll be great. It's always great having him and you talk hitting. He is, of course, a National Baseball Hall of Fame inductee and Atlanta Braves hitting consultant. Chipper had an interesting comment. He was interviewed a couple of days ago, said that... he could hit 200 at his age.
No, that's not what he said.
He said, I couldn't. He said,
I would hit 200. I would hit because of the way these guys pitch.
Because of the way these guys pitch, right? Mm-hmm. He will join us. We're also going to talk to him about, because he is a hitting consultant as well, when and how you go about making adjustments as a hitter early in the season. You've gone through spring training. You've been working on your stuff in spring training. It ain't working.
Great question.
Case like Matt Chapman's.
It's working.
But when do you...
Bar show.
When do you, as a hitter, go about changing things? And can you realistically change it in season? We'll talk to Chipper about that. Brett Boone is host of the Brett Boone podcast. He focuses on the Mariners. He will join us. We'll ask Brett what he has seen from the Mariners this year and focus on Teoscar Hernandez. John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, joins us for his weekly hit. Maybe he'll give us some information. Well, I was going to say some information to George Springer, but it's entirely possible they don't know what's up yet. And as always, we've got Blue Jays tickets to give away with our trivia question. And we will do that in the second half of the show. We just saw the Chicago White Sox. I want to touch on this before we break, Kevo. We just saw the Chicago White Sox. They are now facing the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Rays just beat the bejesus out of them last night.
Because that's what they do to bad teams.
14-5.
Yeah, they beat up on bad teams.
14-5, the general manager of the team, Rick Hahn, who I really like.
The stand-up guy, I think.
Basically said, put his hand up and said, hey, blame this on me. We were talking about this before the show. I like when GMs do that. I look at that lineup and I'm going, dude, I don't know if this is on you. If this is on you. I think this
they
is on...
They got good enough starting pitching, you do think, too, to figure things out.
This is on your players. Now, you may have made... I don't know. It's a little too early to decide whether or not you made a mistake with your manager or anything. That's early. What I saw from your team here, your players need a kick in the ass. It's got nothing to do with you.
I'm with you. Like they don't look like a Major League Baseball team. I'm sorry, they don't.
No, and they've got...
Their players don't look that way.
Yeah.
I mean, their leadoff hitter is supposed to be a 6-tool guy. We had somebody on a year or so ago that was saying he's got more talent than anybody in baseball. Did it look like it to you? I mean, I do know he robbed a homer in center. I mean, it's
And just, you watch him at the plate and it look, should... He, It should be looks better lost. Than it looks. It
absolutely does. Right. I think he's like, when he was here, he's like 3 for his last 40-something.
Kevin, we talked about it. There are guys
Big slumps.
There are four guys in that lineup that at the start of the year, if you said, hey, would you take them in the Jays lineup?
Oh, yeah.
You'd go, hell yeah.
Absolutely
I would.
Now you'd want none of them except nope. Benintendi. Take Benintendi in a second. Oh, there's no question.
But that's where we are with the Chicago White Sox. I've got my own. I think. A large part of it has to do with the fact that the owner's a nincompoop. But
sometimes I think you need to point it at the people that are playing.
Yep.
I think it's too easy all the time to blame the manager and chemistry and how's the clubhouse. And
the GM.
I mean, it's about players, right? At the end of the day, your players have to be really good.
Yeah.
They have to be better than the other team. And they got to be performing. And when they're not, it looks like it looks the way the White Sox look.
And in fairness, they are missing two dudes in Tim Anderson and Liam Hendricks, who, like, they'll get in your grill. Whether or not that works, those are two guys that are quite capable of getting in your grill if you're a teammate. They're missing those two guys. But that's still, we looked at that lineup.
It's good enough.
It is.
It absolutely is.
And that in that division?
Yeah, I'm not sure anymore how much that means with the balanced schedule. I mean, you're playing them 20 less times. Like, does that matter anymore?
Maybe not.
I mean, that's like you're playing some other good teams in other divisions a little bit more now. Like, that means you got to go out and play well. You can't beat yourself. They walk way too many people. That might be the pitching coach.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the White Sox, you see what they've done now when they hit a home run? They got a Chicago mobster jacket, the whole thing they put on.
I'll give them a little bit of lenience. Their record stinks. You can tell they're not having a ton of fun.
No.
I mean,
I'm just, and I'm not saying that.
How dare we in sports have fun?
Well,
but occasionally in a long season, you gotta try and mix it up a little.
I mean, I was told winning, only losing teams have home run jackets and stuff like that. That's what I was told. It's a sign of maturity.
Let me ask you a question. Was I too hard on Dalton? Because I don't want to be that way. Hitting a baseball is very hard. Coming to a new team, especially one that's trying to win a World Series and hit cleanup, is very, very, very hard. I don't want to come across like I was, because I think very highly of him, and he has tons and tons of talent.
I will say this. It's not Dalton Varsho's
I'm with you.
Fault or responsibility that he's hitting cleanup?
Absolutely.
If you had told me at the time of the trade,
he is that.
This guy could be your cleanup hitter, I would have scratched him. I would have been like his old man and said, ah, no.
I would have been okay almost to them saying he's going to hit second. That
Correct.
Might have been a little easier sale
yes.
for the player. Forget
Absolutely.
About us and
Absolutely.
The fans. For him, hitting cleanup in the big leagues, Jeff, you know better
Kevin,
than anybody.
A lefty
is hard.
A lefty with speed. A left-handed hitter with speed. Hitting in front of a dude,
combined
Vladdy.
Occasionally.
You're going to get fastballs. He can bunt. He can put I'm with you. But, you know, we've gone down that road.
We
may have to go down that
know.
Road again at some point, but not right now. We can't, given the way the top of the lineup
is. I just didn't want it to come across like I was trying to be hard on him. But he's gotten off to a little bit more than a slow start.
Yeah.
That's all.
But you know what? As someone who had Rod Carew as his hitting coach, I mean, sometimes you can't put a square peg in a round hole or a round peg in a whatever the hell it is. You know, sometimes sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes the situation calls for you to be a cleanup hitter and you can't.
But I wonder, just say they forget about ever hitting him in the cleanup spot and they only put him in the five hole for the rest of the season.
That doesn't make
any difference. Will it change?
I don't. That's a great point.
I was thinking about that too. Even if I moved him down to the six hole,
you're
not going to put him any lower than that. Say you put him in the six hole, is it going to change his lower
good
half?
Point.
Is it going to change the way pitchers are throwing him?
Because
it's basically elevated heater, yakker off that thing. Same tunnel, but yakker. Like, and occasionally they'll get ahead with one of those. Same tunnel
the
as
only
the elevated
place,
heater.
The
so
only
does
place,
it matter?
The only place two you hole. Could put where it's going to make a difference is the two hole. I mean, that's what I think. That's the only if you didn't have Bo Bichette hitting in the two hole. Let's just say you had, I don't know, player X hitting in the two hole, and you wanted to get Dalton Varsho going.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get his bat going. You'd stick him in that two hole tonight. You'd stick him in that two hole tonight against Castillo. I mean, you know that's you take that righty lefty thing, da da da, et cetera, et cetera. You would do that in a heartbeat, but you can't do it now. And that's not I'm not blaming anybody for
it's
it, but it can't
Bo's,
be done.
Bo's really, 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 really good.
Really good. Exactly.
That's why.
Exactly.
That's, you can't.
But
you want him getting more bats now.
Everything else aside, you'd be looking at doing
I'm
that.
With you.
And I don't
I'm
know.
With you.
We'll ask John Schneider. I don't know what you do to, quote unquote, get him going. Because I do believe
I want to ask Chipper about the changes.
I do believe the only way you get a guy going. Is to let him, you don't get a guy going by giving him 4 days off and say go down in the cage and play with yourself.
Doesn't.
You don't. Well, you know
that's not
you know what I mean.
No.
It didn't
not
come
really.
Out. Yeah. Well, anyhow, let's just forget that I used those words. You understand what I'm saying? You get a guy going by having him play in a game, and you got to figure out a way to make this work for Dalton Varsho, and you've got to figure out to find a way where it works for Dalton Varsho
the harsh
and the
Blue reality
Jays.
Of it is, though, you're facing big league pitchers, and
yep.
you're about to get one of the best in baseball tonight.
Let's take a break. Excited about this. Chipper Jones joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First pitch tonight is 7:07 at the Rogers Center. Luis Castillo on the mound against Alek Manoah.
Should be a quick one.
Hopefully. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk immediately following the game. So get them their dialing fingers or button pushing fingers ready. Don't bother with texts or tweets
because
we don't use them in the
there
post-game
you go.
Show.
Well,
not when
don't.
We're on any.
No, no.
Just phone calls. 7:07 is the first pitch. First of three games. The pitching matchups are thus Saturday, Chris Flexen against Kevin Gausman.
Oof.
And Sunday, Marco Gonzalez against Chris Bassett.
Man,
be a lot, that's going to be
some good pitch.
There'll be a lot of funkiness in that Sunday game.
Man.
The kitchen sink will be. Will be throwing. And again, that is the Mariners. They're 11-14 against the 16-9 Jays.
I can remember you'd look at a schedule and go, yeah, this day is going to be a real tough, but that day, the day after that day, I'm going to get like three hits. There is none of those days anymore.
No, there really isn't.
There is none of those
really
days
isn't.
Anymore.
There really isn't
no?
a lot of those days anymore. You're absolutely right, which is, well, that's a great segue to our next guest. who really doesn't need a segue. We will talk to him about the Atlanta Braves, the 17-9 Atlanta Braves, who Dansby Swanson leaves, and they've got some injuries, and they keep winning. 17-9, the Braves are right now. They're leading the National League East. Chipper Jones is a National Baseball Hall of Fame inductee, or was in 2018 as a Hall of Famer. He's also the Atlanta Braves hitting consultant. Joins us on Blair and Barker. Chipper, thanks so much for joining Kevin and myself. Trust that you're doing well. We'll talk to you about the Braves in a minute, but when we found out we were going to have you on, Kevin and I spent a great deal of time talking about sort of what we would ask you about hitting in particular. And, we've got a guy in the Blue Jays in Dalton Varsho who has gotten off to a slow start hitting cleanup. And, we've talked about he's almost a cleanup hitter. I wouldn't say by accident, but out of necessity more than anything else here. Yeah. Kevin and I were kind of wondering, Chipper, when does a hitter decide, it ain't working. I've got to do something. I've got to try something different. How can you do that in the regular season? Or is that the kind of thing that, boy, when you come out of spring training, you better have it going, because you're just not going to have enough time to make a major overhaul in season.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you guys again. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times during the course of my career I had to go back to square one. I just threw my hands up in the air and just said, Skipper, give me 24 to 36 hours to get in there off the tee and figure out what's going wrong. And I think the one thing I ask most hitters when I talk to them is, what's your base swing? When things go sideways, what can you go back to that is your old faithful? And, for me, the hitting off the tee never lied to you. If you were coming up and through it, the tee would tell you. If you were casting, coming out and around the baseball, the tee would tell you. And I think once I got to the point where I could center 8 to 10 baseballs in a row right through the back of the net, in those long batting cages off the tee, that's when I knew that things were right. And that was my base swing and what I went back to whenever things got sideways. So, something I would tell a young kid is, get in a cage, get off the tee, and find your base swing, and things will start to fall into place after that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pick on Dalton Varsho, but you just made a great point there, right? If you can't hit the ball sitting still, be tough to hit velocity, especially the way they throw it today. But I do need to ask Dalton, again, I'm not trying to pick on him. He's got 86 at-bats. He goes 3-for-4 tonight. We won't be having any conversations about that. That's the beauty of doing this, struggling this early in the season. But, Chip, I do want to ask about, he's a stride-separate guy. He eliminates the lower half, and he's real handsy. Right. And he's sort of that push guy with his front hip instead of that rotation guy. And it just seems like that would be from one situation from another. Last year, it was a leg kick to start. I think early in spring training, it was that stride separating. And now it's turned into sort of that push and not so much of a rotation. Is that hard to get away from? Like, is that something that just by going in 24, 36 hours that you can get back to not pushing and more rotating?
Well, again, you're talking about a young player that probably hadn't quite found himself yet. He's probably still searching for the kind of hitter that he is. I think most guys nowadays, they're so gifted hand-eye coordination that they forget about the lower half. Trust me, as you get older, you will learn how to sink into those legs. Mm-hmm. And I think the big thing with me, I see with young kids that struggle is probably the disconnect between hands and hips. When you can get coiled up and loaded up and the hips and the hands can explode at the same time, that is when you get optimum power. And sounds like I haven't done a ton of – I haven't seen Varsho on a very regular basis, just a little snippet here and there. So I really can't comment on his struggles, but normally the disconnect between hands and hips is what causes guys to either have power or have a lack of it.
Chipper, it was interesting hearing your comments about the game of baseball the other day. We are obviously, you know, we've got the pitch clock, or the pitch timer, I should say. There's bigger bases, et cetera, et cetera. We had Jeff Passan of ESPN on yesterday, and he made an interesting point. He said, really, if you look at the numbers, it's still kind of the game it was last year or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. It's just happening a lot faster because of the pitch timer. Have you noticed a major difference in the game because of the pitch timer?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it helps both hitters and pitchers. Hey, pitchers, you know, catch the ball, get on the mound, throw your pitch. It helps you get into a rhythm. Same thing with the hitters, you know. I mean, I was pretty much a no-nonsense guy when I walked up to the plate. I wasn't, you know, stepping out and taking three practice swings and adjusting my batting gloves. You know, I was focused in on what that pitcher was doing. So I think it's good. I was down at spring training for about 2 weeks. We didn't have a game over 2 hours and 35, 40 minutes. That's unbelievable, especially in spring training with all the pitching changes that you will endure down there. I think it's the pitch clock I'm cool with. You know, I don't know how much of a big deal the bigger bases are. I certainly seeing a few more stolen bases, which is good, kind of getting back to the old school way of manufacturing runs. And the abolishment of the shift, while, you know, I could give two rats behind whether somebody shifts me or not, it has brought back the importance of the single, and therefore the stolen base, and therefore the hit and run. And slowly but surely, we'll get back to, you know, the way things were, agreed, at a faster pace. But I think, you know, you still got it's been beaten into these guys' heads for so long to hit the ball over the shift as opposed to, you know, going the other way and whatnot. So it's going to take a little time for, you know, for that to get out of these guys' systems, so to speak. But, you know, to each his own. And we'll see how it plays out the rest of the year. But I certainly am a huge advocate of the pitch clock.
Chip, you watch the Braves every day. Where are they at? How good are the Braves?
The Braves are very good. I feel like, you know, we're kind of treading water right now until we get healthy. We need that big horse, Raisel Iglesias, back on the back end of the bullpen. A.J. Minter has really struggled. In the closer role, he's more of a seventh, eighth inning setup guy. You know, we've had Travis d'Arnaud on the DL with concussion symptoms for quite some time. Michael Harris, who will be back tonight when they get to New York, is back in the lineup. He's been out for about 2 to 3 weeks with a back issue. So, you know, we're kind of running four guys out into the outfield, whether it's Sam Hilliard or Kevin Pillar or Rosario or Ozuna, you know, just kind of trying to find the right combination of guys that are hot. Look, our infield is phenomenal with Riley Olson, Ozzie Albies, you know, Vaughn Grissom's kind of getting his feet under him. Arcia broke a bone in his hand. But the Braves are going to go as far as their starting pitching takes them. It has been outstanding up until this point in the season. You could argue that the Braves could have, you know, three or four more wins, with a couple of clean innings by some relievers. So we're right there, and we're getting healthy. Are we a perfect team? No, we're not, but we swing the bats real well. We've caught it fairly well up until this point. And we just need to solidify kind of the back end of that bullpen. And I really feel like this is a team that can make a strong run in October.
Chip, you talk about a lot about Austin Riley and trigger points. And those two words, trigger points, is sort of interesting with, you know, Man, I wish I'd have known you when I was trying to play, because just simplifying it. Well, it is. It's true, right? You sort of have to figure it out on your own. It helps to have as much talent as Riley does, but you got to know things, right? These dudes throw so hard. They throw their secondary pitches so much. They're really unpredictable. And you got to, like, hunt. I've heard him talk about hunting windows, not so much hunting a pitch, which is not the easiest thing to do, right? You know, you got to be, I guess that's called guessing, or an educated guess. Can you talk a little bit what's special about him? What do you like about him? And do you think he can get better than he is now?
Oh, I think there's more in there. When he was first coming up, I likened him to a Troy Gloss, a guy that could go out there and hit 35 or 40 homers, with his eyes shut pretty much. Well, he really surprised me with his ability to go out there and scare 300 and have a 400 on base percentage. And I think that has directly correlated with the fact that we've just changed his sights. He was a pull happy guy in the minors, light tower power. But instead of, thinking left center field to the left field foul pole first, now we got him going from right center field to left center field. And with that, pitch recognition has gone up. His swing and miss has gone down. His balls in play have gone up. And when a guy like that puts the ball in play more, guess what happens? That slugging percentage goes up more, So it's been really fun to watch his maturation process. I think you guys will see firsthand this week. He is a lot better athlete than people give him credit for. He runs the bases extremely well. He's athletic out there at third base. There's not a play on the planet that he can't make at third base. So he's really rounded into form, scared some MVP votes last year with, I think, 36 or 38 homers. He'll do the same this year. He's come out of spring training swinging the bat pretty well. And just gotta keep those big guys in the middle of the lineup healthy. You know as well as I do, if the Blue Jays lose Bichette or Vlad or somebody else hitting in the middle of the lineup for an extended period of time, that's a big gap to fill. Mm-hmm. So hopefully those guys stay healthy. Mm-hmm.
Chipper, last question before I let you go. Mike Soroka is a guy that we follow a great deal. We've had him on the show a couple of times, obviously. Kid from Calgary. What is the organization, without giving away state secrets here, understandably, but where is he in his rehab and what do you think the next step for him might be?
Well, we are extremely excited that we're going to see Michael Soroka, at the big league level this year. I knock on wood, I hope that's the case, because, when these kids were coming up through the minors, Max Fried included, Michael Soroka was the man. Mm-hmm. And, when he got to the big leagues, he was our number one starter and Max Fried was behind him. Unfortunately, due to injury, a couple of freak Achilles injuries, we haven't seen him in quite some time. That's another guy that is another notch in our belt that's going to be coming up from the minor leagues very soon to help this ball club. In what capacity? I don't know. I don't know if he takes somebody's spot in the rotation, if the Braves go to a six-man rotation, or whether somebody moves to the bullpen. But Michael Soroka will be pitching in the big leagues here pretty soon. I think he's extended all the way up to 100 pitches in AAA now and has, I think, a 1.8 ERA in AAA. And, fellas, when I tell you that this kid is built like a brick house, it has been fun to watch. I mean, not fun because he's been hurt, but he's had to get in the weight room, and he's got tree trunks for legs right now. So hopefully, that helps him. I'm sure he's spending this first month kind of knocking the rust off. Hell, he hasn't pitched in two and a half years. So, but we are extremely excited that a Michael Soroka sighting at the big league level is in the very near future for us.
Awesome. Chipper, we're going to let you run, man. That's great news. Thanks for this.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
All right, boys. Y'all take it easy.
Take care. It's Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer, Atlanta Braves hitting consultant. So that is good news about Soroka. I watched a little bit of his start a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm.
just on the MILB app, and he looks bigger than I remember him being. But yeah, he's if they get him back.
Yeah, when I saw him there in Toronto, I think a month or so ago, he was talking about he was going to do some things mechanically a little different because of the injuries that he's had. That, you know, he needs to repeat some lower half stuff a little bit better so he doesn't have a
I mean, his injuries have been just freakish.
It's been awful.
Achilles and
been awful. It's made him go fix it.
Yeah,
like you got to go get with somebody and say, how can I fix this? And it sounds to me like the conversation that I had with him, he's very excited about that. And it sounds like he has by the numbers that he's putting up when he's pitching in the minor league. So be happy. I mean, that's just another weapon for the Braves to have. I mean, really, it's just
it's
a plethora of them.
There's really only one issue in that team right now, and that's Marcell Ozuna. And they can figure out, they'll figure that out.
If they're fully healthy, they're the best team in baseball, for me anyway. Just by what they can do everywhere, running the bases, playing defense. They got balance in their lineup. I mean, they got thump. They got guys who can hit cleanup. They got MVPs. Like, they got a bunch of everything. They got a really good starting rotation, if not great starting rotation.
And,
end of the bullpen's healthy. They have no-brainers, which is what you need in the playoffs. They're going to be a tough get, whoever gets them.
And as much as I love watching the dude play, and I really do, I think – deciding to not throw all that money at Dansby Swanson, I think, is going to work out for them.
Yeah.
I think it's going to work out for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love Dansby Swanson, but I don't. Generally, Alex makes the right calls with his guys,
How much is the clubhouse worth?
You could say it
out loud. Because that's why everybody that says his name always yells and screams the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the best clubhouse guy in the world. Well, Alex didn't seem to think it was worth that much.
Yeah.
So you'd rather have a bunch of talent. You can deal with that. You got the right manager. You got people like Chipper Jones who I've been in a cage with him. Don't take no crap. Like, it is good. You go in there and just listen and keep your mouth shut. It's amazing listening to a guy like that talk. But I do want to say this real quick for you. He mentioned that. To say to a manager, give me 24 to 36 hours and let me go hit off the tee. That's intriguing.
Because you would have thought.
No, you don't. Like, the more you think about it, the worse off you're going to be.
You would have thought, my way out of it.
Don't be afraid to make changes. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The more you make them, the quicker you make them, adapt them, overcome, the better player you're going to be. Don't do the same thing over and over again, right?
You know what is really.
It's amazing to hear him say that.
What's really intriguing to me is when we talk to these guys who were good hitters, they always talk about tee work. And I think sometimes we look at with all the technology and everything like that, what does the tee do for you? What could hitting a stationary ball do for you?
Direction, length. You can feel your mechanics.
And as Chipper said, get your base swing.
You can
swing.
Feel everything. You can put it in sections, your swing, because of the ball sitting still. You can move the tee to where you want to make contact, which will tell you that if I can make solid contact where the tee's at, my body is in a certain position and I can feel it, and it becomes a habit. It's a big deal, the tee. It flattens your swing out. Like, he mentioned it. You got the little uppercut in your swing. You got to level that out. Everybody's pitching Dalton up. If you got an uppercut in your swing, you're out. Out. Because of your lower half. That's the point here is it's just awesome to listen to a guy that tries to simplify it and just go and say, what is the swing that you used to use when you were a kid? Let's start from there. Let's not overthink it. Let's go do it off a tee. That's pretty awesome stuff. I could listen to that dude talk all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
John Schneider is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He will join us in the next half hour for his weekly appearance. Brett Boone is host of the Brett Boone Podcast. He's a 14-year MLB player, a three-time All-Star. Focuses on the Seattle Mariners. They're in town tonight for the first of a three-game series against the Jays. Let's see what Brett Boone thinks of the Mariners. Brett Boone joins us next. We've got Jays tickets to give away as well. Don't go anywhere. It's a Friday. This is Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360. And wherever you're getting your favorite podcast.
everything Raptors before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought you guys were picking new music or something. That was the rumor yesterday. Something more summery, so, although I think this is kind of summery. This is sort of
Beach Boys.
Beachish. But I'll let you guys decide. Maybe a little more country. 416-413-3959. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. You know what? You can call up and leave a question or comment for Kevin Barker. If you've got some thoughts on music, drop it in there too. Maybe we'll use your thoughts. Like what you think we should get for lead-in music. There's some CRTC rules, right? We can only use... I'm looking at Lance. We can only use pre-production music, which is... So don't be saying, you know, Bon Jovi or...
I like Bon Jovi.
Or Morgan Wallen, or I don't know why the hell I thought of Morgan Wallen. What's the guy that you always want me to listen to? Chris Stapleton, yeah. Maybe a little Miley Cyrus. We'd both be okay
like
with that. But anyhow, there you go. We've got Jay's tickets to give away this hour.
What game?
Huh?
What game?
Some game against the Yankees. We got tickets to give away this hour. We'll do that in a few minutes. John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, joins us at 11:30. I hate when you do that.
I do it.
And a reminder that Alec Manoah is on the mound tonight for the Blue Jays against Luis Castillo. And that means that the sixth chapter of Obsessed, the Alec Manoah story, will air tonight on Blue Jay Central. This is a production by Hazel May and Stephen Payne. It's been terrific. And this chapter six is Alec and others reflecting on his baseball journey and where the future might take him. Of course, at 25 years old, this kid's already got an All-Star game appearance under his belt, finished second in AL Cy Young voting. We talked about his difficult start to the year. He seems to have righted the ship and looked awfully good. Looked like the Alec Manoah, more like the Alec Manoah we've come to know and love in that that game against the Yankees. So now he's at home. There's supposedly going to be big crowds this weekend against the Mariners. He's got Luis Castillo. It's a rematch of postseason game. Going to be a lot of emotion out there. We'll see what that, we'll see how that transpires when it comes to, you're giving me that look. We'll see how that transpires when
emotion,
it comes to Alec.
Seems like.
I'm not, just today I am.
Okay.
The Mariners, of course, it is their first game back after, first game in Toronto, I should say, since beating the Blue Jays in the postseason last year. It will be the return of Teoscar Hernandez to Toronto. Teoscar Hernandez traded to the Mariners for Eric Swanson and Adam Mako. And the Mariners come in, they're 11-14. They lost 1-0 to the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday. A 2-hour and 4-minute game. Rob Manfred watched that game and was running around high-fiving everybody in the office. Did a victory lap all around Park Avenue. All around Park Avenue.
It's worked.
Brett Boone is host of the Brett Boone Podcast. He's a 14-year MLB player, 3-time All-Star. He joins us on Blair and Barker to take a deeper dive into the Seattle Mariners. Brett, thank you very much for joining us. Look, I look at the Mariners' record. They're 11-14. There's a lot to talk about with this team, but I'm just going to get it going by asking you about your thoughts, your views on how Teoscar has fit in with the Mariners. 6 home runs, 15 ribbies, a .224 average so far this season.
I think Teoscar's been great. Yeah, I love the trade from the get-go. Or not necessarily, I didn't love the trade. I love that we were getting Teoscar Hernandez in Seattle. At the same time, you gave up a pretty good piece. That kind of at the time, you know, the Mariners had a lot of success last year in their bullpen. And all of a sudden, you look up this year when things haven't been going all that great and say, oh, yeah, but where's Swanson? Well, you had to give up something to get Teoscar. So you guys got a good one in Swanson and the Mariners. Got a keeper in Teoscar. I think so far he's been great. He's done the average, I think, you know, a little on the low side for him. That'll come up. It's so early in the season. But I think all in all, pretty happy with the situation, having him and having him for years to come.
Brad, what's going on with Ty France? He's only got one homer. Why is that?
Ty France started off hot again. You know, I look up and he's hitting 350. Now I look and he's hitting 250. He's got one homer. He's got 15 RBI.
Welcome to April.
Yeah,
I don't worry about, you know, I don't look at the home run numbers in April. I just look to see how you're swinging, how your at-bats are going. Because that they just run and, you know, I've had April coming out of the shoot in Aprils where I hit one or two, and all of a sudden you've got nine going into June. So I don't really put much stock into that. He was swinging the bat really well. He's hit a little bit of a lull. But this team in general has kind of hit a little lull. Everybody, except with the exception of Kelenic, who's been hot for a while now.
Do you change? Oh, sorry, Jeff. Go ahead. Just ask about the April. That's intriguing. We just had Chipper Jones on. He was talking about we asked when it was too soon to make some changes. Is April too soon? He had some thoughts on that.
Talking about changes, hitting.
Absolutely. With the lower half, and what changes, do? Right. Is it urgent enough to do it in April? Those kind of things. Is there a certain part of your swing that you worry about, that you look at, that you say, okay, I don't worry about so much the numbers. If my swing has length to it, if I'm catching up to velocity, if I'm hitting the ball hard, is there any of those that you look at?
Well, you're looking at hitting the ball hard. You're looking at having quality at bats. A lot of times, and it depends, it fluctuated throughout my career. Sometimes I'd get to April 1, and I just call it April 1 as the typical starting date for the season. And, man, I'd come out of spring training, and I wouldn't be there. And I'd think, oh, the timing's not there yet. I wish we had another week. And that's what you're looking for, that timing. And it might not even be a positive result at bat. For instance, it might not be a hit. It might not be an RBI. It might be a swing that clicks and finally goes, okay, it's there. The timing's there. As far as numbers, April, yeah, for me, I had a number in my head every month, not necessarily April. I never had a home run goal because thinking about the homer for me didn't work. If I think home run, I'm not going to have good at-bats. Good at-bats turn into home runs, but I always had an RBI total that I looked to every month between 15 and 20, and I always had an average, 300. We're always shooting for 300. I only hit 300 twice in my career, so it's not like it worked that often, but that was in my mind. Get through April. Get through the weather. There's going to be some weather. You're traveling. It's going to be cold in Chicago, Milwaukee. It's going to, you know, you're going to go to some domes. It's going to be nice. But you get through April, you get through the first month of the season, you get your feet under you, and now you get going into May and you get the season going. It's going to start to warm up. Things are starting to be working in your advantage from the offensive side of the baseball. But, I don't put that much credence into April because it's just the first month. Now, you get late into May and you're still hitting 210, you might want to start making some changes at that point.
Great answer.
Yeah, Brett, when we had Chipper on, one of the things we were talking about Dalton Varsho in particular, and what he's going through with the Blue Jays right now. And, you know, Chipper's point was when a young guy was scuffling, he tells him, first of all, what's your base swing? Like, what is the swing?
Simple.
What is your simplest? Give me the simplified version of your swing. And then he said, you know what? Don't be afraid to go to your manager and say, Skip, give me 24 to 36 hours where I can just work in the tee and just try to get this down. And I'm wondering, would that be part of your, I'm not asking you to second guess Chipper, but you played, would that be part of your philosophy as well? Or were you a guy that would just, hey, if I got to get out of this, I got to get out of this playing, right? The cage, the tee, I got to get out of this by facing major league pitching.
Without a doubt. And sometimes Chipper's right. Sometimes you do need a minute. You need to step away from the game. It's tough when you're a young player to really admit that to yourself, you know, because you're fighting through it. And I remember as a young player, I wanted to be Cal Ripken. I wanted to play every day. And I got to a point one time where I had it out with my manager, Davey Johnson, and 60, 70 games in, Davey came to me. I was exhausted. He said, hey, kid, you need a day off? I said, yes, I do. And it was a come to, you know, it was a moment where, hey, you don't know everything. And how Cal did it is beyond me.
Yeah.
I played with Chipper Jones, by the way. One of the best players I've ever played with. Player I've ever played with is Ken Griffey Jr.
Yep.
But Chipper Jones is in that conversation. He was that good of a player. He was that good of a preparer. I remember Chipper, one of the most poised young players I've ever been around. I remember 1995 in the playoffs, Chipper Jones hitting third for those great Braves teams. Mm-hmm. And the poise that he had at that age, I mean, it's like he's been there, done that for 10 years. And I think he's 21 years old. It was amazing to me. Ended up being a Hall of Fame player, great player. So I'm not going to sit here and quarrel with him offensively. Maybe that's what he did. I remember the year I played with Chipper Jones in 1999. He didn't come out for batting practice pretty much the second half of the season. He had his routine. He came to the ballpark. He was always early getting there. He had his routine with Don Baylor, was our hitting coach that year. He ended up winning an MVP. And that's why how individualized a big league clubhouse is. I never had a problem with anybody having their own program, as long as it produced and you show up at 7 o'clock every night. Do whatever you want. We're big boys here. It's not everybody's treated equal. It's not everybody's, you know, we don't all have to stretch at the same exact time. They're men. As long as you produce, I said, do what you got to do to get ready for 7 o'clock. That year with Chipper, it was pretty awesome to watch because, like I said, most of the time he wouldn't even come onto the field until game time. He ends up winning the MVP, and he's a huge reason why we did as well as we did that year. So taking 36, maybe. That works for some people. For me, young player, I want to play. I want to get through it. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point in time, too, where as a player, you're never going to go to your manager and say, hey, Skip, give me a day off. But if that manager comes to you, and I think the really good ones, they can feel it. They can look They can look into your eyes and know he needs a break.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to take a break. Let's have a plan during that break what we're going to do. So it'll work out. It'll work out. So,
Brett, speaking of plans, what is up with Jared Kelnick?
Okay, I was in spring training. I stopped by the Mariners camp one day. I went up into the booth and I did a few innings with Rick Riz. And I was watching Jared and I was talking to Edgar Martinez, a good friend of mine. He's still with the organization, Mike Cameron. And I said, how's Kelenic? Did he make some adjustments in Boston? They said he really shortened his swing. He looks really good. I watched him in the game. I don't think he got a hit that day, but his swing, there was a noticeable change to his swing. And it was much shorter. And I'll tell you, since he had a point, it was at Wrigley Field a couple weeks ago. He went into this series. He's still kind of trying to find it. He had a big series. I think he homered in all three games. And there was a change. You could feel it. I was watching the game. I said, this is a defining moment for Jared Kelenic. When he comes to the ballpark tomorrow, that drive to the ballpark is going to be different than it has been this last 2 years for him. I think finally he got over that threshold and he became a big leaguer, not only in the eyes of himself because of what he did in that Wrigley Field series, but to his teammates. I think there was a turning point in that moment, and he hasn't missed a beat since then. He's been the offense for the Seattle Mariners thus far, leading the team in homers, and you know I think he's hitting 315, 320 now, but he's made an unbelievable adjustment. We always knew the talent was there. But now I think you're starting to see what that talent's capable of.
He talks about tension-free. Is that something you see from him?
I think he's a guy, and I've talked to Jared a little bit. I don't know him that well, but I always told him, you know, he came up and he had a lot on his shoulder. He had a chip on his shoulder. He was kind of quick to respond to people. I said, listen, when you're a young player, when you're a rookie, you know, you can be brash. I like that part of you. But I just said, shut up, stay off social media, listen, speak when spoken to, keep your nose down, shorten that swing, and play. Because you got a ton of talent, kid, ton of talent. I think finally he got to a point where he was always trying to please everybody and saying, am I saying the right thing? We get to a point where we're young, where we say stuff that we think other people want to hear. It's a little bit of insecurity, but I think he's passing all that now, and I think he's starting to have fun. He doesn't show it. He's turned into a pretty quiet guy now, but he's letting his bat talk for him, and it's fun to watch, and I'm really happy for him.
You know, a lot of the Jays players, when you ask them about that playoff loss, they'll say, well, you know, good teams, sometimes you got to learn to lose. You got to lose to learn what it takes to win, to get over the hurdle, and you know, and you can use it as a building block, et cetera, et cetera. That's what the Blue Jays took away from last year. What did the what did the Mariners, Brett, take away from last year, from winning that series and then, you know, running into the Astros?
Well, I think they ran into the Astros. And if you remember, they opened up the series with the Astros with Verlander. They had them down 7-0 in the second, and they gave it up, and they end up losing that game. I think if they win that game, the Astros don't win the World Series. I think the Mariners beat them that series.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they did come back, as soon as they came back, I knew from a karma standpoint, just from an experience, usually when you have especially the ace, it was Verlander, you had him down, you beat him, that changes the whole complexity of the series. And they let him come back and lose. And as, you know, as an ex-Mariner, a fan that hadn't seen him in the playoffs for 20 years, I just kind of went, that can't happen. And I knew then, you know, a sweep was inevitable. They ended up getting beat by Houston. Houston, I take nothing away from them. They were the best team in baseball. I still think they're the best team in baseball right now. But I think it was something the Mariners, for their own mind, to say, okay, we can. Believe me, if you're in that city, and there's never been a World Series championship in the city of Seattle, but there's been some success, and you get sick of watching the 1995 reel of Edgar hitting the double. Nothing against Edgar, one of my best friends in life. You get sick of talking about our team, the 2001 Mariners, that won 116 games. It's like, great. But when that's all you have to hold on to, that's what you got to watch. So I think last year, breaking through, making the playoffs, having some success, some young players that I think have some staying power. I think that's a good group of guys. That's a talented group of guys. I see the young catcher, Raleigh. I think he's a really good backstop. I think the pitchers love throwing to him. The kid, once again, Kelenic, he's going to be a great player. Rodriguez is a bona fide superstar, off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's a great player. I think they have a great nucleus. I love the young pitching staff with Gilbert and Kirby. These guys are going to be really good pitchers for a long time. They just signed Castillo, one of the best pitchers in the game. He heads that rotation. So I see a lot of positive things in Seattle. And with them breaking through, getting the playoffs, they know they're capable of it. And I think this year it's going to happen too. I've been watching the game, guys, the game of Major League Baseball, and I just think it's so much different now. 20, 30 years ago, it was tough to get into the playoffs. There weren't that many berths out there. There weren't that many, playoff spots. So that 162 meant a lot. You had to grind it out, and usually the best teams over the long haul were rewarded with a playoff spot. That's not the case anymore. Half the teams get into the playoffs, so that's not the real race. The race is playing well enough to be a little bit over 500 and then getting hot at the right time down the stretch. So it's a different philosophy. It's a different – I wonder if we're going to see teams changing how they put together teams because the format is completely different. You know, you go back to the 80s, two teams in each league made it to the postseason. You play one playoff, now all of a sudden, boop, you're in the World Series. But it was a testament to that long haul, that 162 games. I don't think it's any easier to win a World Series right now because the playoffs, you got to go through four rounds, much more difficult. But getting to the playoffs, much easier at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see how Major League Baseball as a whole, these teams individually as a whole, prepare for the way this current schedule is.
Brett, really good of you to do this, man. Terrific insight as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brett.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Be well. That is Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Had a really good 14-year career. He was a hell of a player. Three-time All-Star. Of course, part of the a member of the Boone, the legendary Boone family, a baseball family, if there ever was one. So interesting hearing Brett talk about when you're a younger guy and you're going through some things early in the season. And I was smiling a bit when he talked about Davey, because covering Davey a little bit over the years, I can kind of see Davey walking up to him and saying, you need a day off, you know, and I mean, I think that
it's called being sent down if you're a young player, though. That's the difference, right? That's a difference in a kid that's, you know, at the back end of your team and somebody that's supposed to be an everyday player. The conversation is going to be a little different.
You're you not couldn't go do out. That. You could
absolutely not.
You couldn't have gone to Davey Lopes and say, Davey, give me 24 hours. Davey'd say, I'll give you 24 weeks down.
Davey
right?
Lopes.
I know.
Yeah, look, it's baseball's hitting the baseball's hard, and sometimes I think everybody wants to have a perfect swing. And I'm not sure there is one. We talk about Vladdy all the time, the way he gets barreled a baseball and doesn't have a perfect swing every time he has a positive move towards the baseball. That's why it makes him elite. That's what you see in a lot of teams, a lot of lineups, because the game's changed where the athleticism is that much better, and they're used to seeing velocity. They're used to seeing breaking balls. So them being able to get the barrel to baseball is a special thing, and everybody handles it a different way. I think we've had two people on. The conversation for when you struggle is different for both. That's why there is no right answer. Every guy's got to figure it out on their own, how they're going to go through it. It's just, when do you tweak? When do you say, okay, I've tried it all. I've tried it long enough. Now I widen out. I go back to a leg kick. I move my hands higher. If I'm Dalton, that's what I do. I kick my hands above my head. I try and use my bottom hand and drop the barrel on the ball. That's what I try to do. Having it below your chin is really hard to do, stride separating, because now your barrel has already started to have a loop in it because of where you started from. He's not a guy that gets it up, way up there, the good separation. He gets it a little, but it's somewhere around his chin. That's impossible to do. That's why you continue to see smart people that are running teams say when they're coming in, you don't got to bring in lefty. Just elevate it and then throw a tunneling secondary pitcher off that. He'll get himself out. Now it's up to him to make the adjustment. They've adjusted to him. Now it's time for him to adjust. I think he will. It's just how long will they give him to try it? That's the thing, right? Before they have to make some changes.
John Schneider's the manager of the Blue Jays. He joins us in the next segment. Maybe that's one of the things we can
sure.
We can talk to John Schneider about. We've been giving you a chance all season long, and we'll be giving you a chance all season long to win Blue Jays tickets on Blair and Barker, whether you listen on the radio or on our podcast. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 590-590. Yesterday's question and answer was Jays great and current Jays bench coach. Yankees great and current Jays bench coach Don Mattingly was known for his defense. How many gold gloves did he win at first base? The answer was 9. I would have guessed 10 just because 10's a
nice number.
Easier number. 9 gold gloves. It's pretty good. Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and Orioles down at the Rogers Center on May 19th. Which Blue Jay made his MLB debut with the Orioles in 2013? I would have got this. Which Blue Jay made his MLB debut with the Orioles in 2013? You can text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. As always, see rules at sportsnet.ca/590. He is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. They are opening a 3-game series tonight at the Rogers Center against the Seattle Mariners. He is John Schneider. He'll join us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This will be an interesting set. There he goes. Mark Boppel, our producer.
He's sad.
He's got his Leafs hat on backwards.
Boy, it's backwards. Be proud.
They still got a chance.
Yeah, they're still up.
Be proud, Leafs fans. Up. Be proud.
They'll win in 7.
Yeah. Maybe.
Look at Lance.
Jays are taking. I know he does. Which is a bad thing, because Lance is the only thing standing between us and a CRTC violation.
Yeah, there
right?
it is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's like when you're a newspaper writer. Always treat your editors well. You know why? Because
those are the last
sets of eyes that see your story. And if they don't like you, they may let that word go through.
Yeah.
It ain't their fault.
It's true. I'm rooting for all you Leaf fans. I really, truly am. I actually watched the game last night.
I know you did.
I don't think your goalie's any good, as far as I know.
Well, there you go.
There's
analysis you can't find anyplace else.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure everybody will break it down, but that's the first game I think I've ever watched start to finish.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you like that?
That's all right. The back leg line, by the way, is 416-413-3959. We will
You should be proud of me.
Dip into the back leg line. Questions, comments from Mr. Barker. We'll also be doing Blue Jays talk tonight following the Jays' victory over the Seattle Mariners. I'm feeling optimistic.
Well, it's going to be buoyant today. It's going to be tough tonight. Luis is coming off a start. He's going to correct some things. And I look, this is where, again, this gets back to that thing we talk about, that you're going to have to match their starting pitcher. If they can do that and give them that lineup a chance to figure out changeup, slider, the heater with the weird arm angle, it'll be all right.
Speaking of the starting pitcher today, it is Alek Manoah, and Chapter 6 of Alek Manoah Obsessed will air on Blue Jay Central before the game. In this chapter, Alek Manoah and others close to him reflect on his 20-year baseball journey.
It's been great.
Where his future might take. It really has been great.
And he's pitching better, which
makes everything better.
What helps?
It's a terrific production by Stephen
Payne.
They
did a great job. Absolutely.
And Hazel May. They really didn't. And shout out, by the way, to Alek and his family and his friends, because they were really cooperative during this. And
you know,
cooperation just makes it one of the things that makes it. Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah.
John Schneider's manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And he joins us now on Blair and Barker. Sorry about that. John, thanks for joining us. You've got Alek Manoah going tonight. We're doing well. You got Manoah going tonight. John, look, I know you were really, bullish on your starting rotation all along, but and I don't want to jinx this. I'm knocking on wood.
I don't think you can now.
I don't think you can either.
No, I don't think you can.
But just from a manager's point of view, we talk about how the teams that went to the playoffs last year and had success in the playoffs last year all had one thing in common. They all got a lot of innings out of their rotation. Mm-hmm. Tell us from a manager's point of view, what, knowing you're going to get 5 2/3 or six and two-thirds, 7 innings, what that does for you as a manager when you sit down and try to think of how you're going to manage a game?
Well, for one, it lines up your bullpen and allows your offense to kind of do its thing. And it keeps guys fresh, I think, in the bullpen. You're not overusing them. They're not getting overexposed. And, the last turn and a half through the rotation, guys have been awesome. They're kind of, competing with one another a little bit. I think it started, with Alek kind of in New York, getting on board with the rest of the group. And they've been phenomenal. They really have. So it just allows you to do things a certain way from a bullpen standpoint. And it really just kind of, allows your offense to really, take its time and do its thing.
Okay, John, give me one specific thing from these two guys. That would be Jose and Yusei, that you see mm-hmm. is the reason why they are what they are now. One reason.
One specific thing for Yusei, I think, is fastball command. One specific thing for Jose, I think, is just conviction, which he's throwing his pitches. It's easy. I've been saying it all along, good stuff, bad execution. They're doing that. They're executing better, for sure. But I think, for each one of those guys, it's conviction and it's fastball command. So they've been, you feel really good with those dudes in the mound right now.
Mm-hmm. Kevin and I spent a great deal of the first part of the show talking a little bit about Dalton Varsho and
nicely.
Well, I did.
You like to say,
and what it's going to take, what it's going to take to get him going. And, we had Chipper Jones on and Brett Boone, and we were talking to Chipper about sometimes you need to walk up to the manager and say, Skip, and this is Chipper talking, Skip, give me 24 to 36 hours. I need to go in the tee and I need to figure this out. And Brett was kind of interesting, said he kind of preferred it when the manager came up to him and said, hey, you know what? You could use a day. I'm giving you a day. As manager, how do you approach, and I'm not talking necessarily about Dalton in particular, but just dealing with guys, knowing when to give a guy a day. Because, you've got guys in your team, frankly, Bo and Vladdy, that don't seem necessarily to take days. How do you go about that as a manager and communicating what you want, what you think is the best for them, and what also is the best for the team?
Yeah, I think it's for one, it's being open with them and kind of just understanding their personalities. You know, I think we can all see, you know, when a guy is really grinding or when he needs a, you know, a mental blow. But I think it's just having those, that open dialogue with him. And sometimes you just take the, decision out of their hands. If they're, adamant about, no, I'm fine, I'm good, I don't need a day, you just kind of take it out of their hands and say, okay, this is what we're doing. This is best for you. This is best for us. But it's just really, it's just knowing the people, it's just kind of trying to get to understand what makes them tick. With Barsh in particular, I think part of it is, he's so well liked by his teammates. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, a great thing. And he wants so badly to kind of, show what he's really capable of. And being with a new team, I think it's kind of natural to do that. But the thing with Barsh is he can do so many things that help you win every night, whether it's, on the bases, defensively, whatever it is, taking a walk, moving a guy over. So it's, it'll come with Dalton. We're not concerned about that at all. But overall, I think that just understanding how they operate, what makes them tick, and trying to just make the best decision for them.
You're in the room. You would know this. Would it help moving a guy down like Dalton hits cleanup? Does that matter, or should we just stop talking about where they're hitting in the lineup? Because, it's not going to change the way Dalton's getting pitched. It's the elevated fastball. It's the tunneling secondary pitch off that. It has nothing to do with he's hitting cleanup, he's hitting fifth, or does it?
No, I think, people are going to get pitched however they're going to get pitched by sure. A certain team if they're hitting one or nine, right? So it's, I think that, you look at, him, Chappie in that 4-5, spot. The great thing about the lineup is there's a lot of flexibility, right? I know it's been pretty consistent. It could be Brandon Belt. It could be Alejandro Kirk, So it could be a evolving thing in that spot. But again, I think just the overall skill set that Dalton has, like him in the middle of the order there. And, he's going to get pitched the same way no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have had a chance yet to get any further updates on George Springer. Obviously he left the game after getting hit by the Michael Kopech pitch. The x-rays were negative. Will there be an update later on today? Or as far as you know, is it going to be as bad, in air quotes, as Santiago Espinal's injury turned out to be?
Gotcha. Checked in with him yesterday. He's feeling better. We're going to just kind of see how he is today and make a decision. For his availability. I think that, yesterday was a real good step in the right direction in terms of how he felt compared to the day before. So we'll have an update once we get over the ballpark.
John, any extra significance to this game tonight because it's Seattle, because the last time they were here it was a playoff game and they eliminated you guys? I don't know. I don't expect you to have a conversation with guys about it, but do you think guys will talk about it, or is that, it's April 28th and it's kind of a long way away, and it's a long way away in both ends, right? It was a long way away from happening and we're a long way away from this year's playoffs.
Yeah. I think that, whenever you play a team for the first time, you probably, you think about the last time you played them a little bit, and yeah, it was weird circumstances and, unfortunate circumstances the way we saw him last time. So the guys may talk about it. I think really, though, that it's kind of the overall goal is, okay, new team, and we're trying to win a series. So, I think seeing Teoscar, will be nice tonight. It'd probably be good for Swanee to see some of his old teammates, too. So that kind of plays into it. But it's, I think, really – if guys are thinking about it, they do quickly, and they move on to trying to win the series.
John, you were really open in an interview you did with Hazel, and you in subsequent interviews as well, talking about the playoff game and decisions that were made, and how you might do it if you had a do over. Very candid, very honest. Mm-hmm. How hard is that? how hard is it to be honest?
It's a great question.
John, I've dealt with managers who would say, guys.
Would never say that.
Or they would go, guys, off the record. Yeah, of course, if I had a do-over, I would do it.
Sure.
You weren't afraid to say it on the record.
No, it's this job is tough, and you're going to get, you're going to get second guess. I get that. I've really just always kind of been an open book. And, you know, I think that any decision that you make, you know, there's well thought out reasons why, right? And I think that, you know, it's cool if the fan base can kind of be privy to that a little bit. And there's a lot of moving parts into everything that we do every night. So it's just kind of my nature. I like to, you know, tell people how it is. I like to tell people, you know, why, if they want to know why. So yeah, it's just kind of how I've always been. I feel like in this job, you know, that it doesn't really have to be that much different. So yeah, that's kind of just my MO, you know, it's, what you see is what you get, but there's a lot of, you know, things that go into every decision, in this job. They really are.
Why should we think Nate Pearson will be better this time around?
I think if he's, you know, throwing strikes for one, right? The stuff's always been there. And what was really encouraging for us to see in Buffalo was just, you know, the strike percentage with all three of his pitches. So I think if he continues to do that here, that's when we're going to see the best version of Nate. So it's been going on for a while. It's been going on, you know, since spring training, really, and then carried it over into the season in AAA. So hopefully he can kind of continue to do that. But that's what we like right now.
Is it hard for a guy that throws as hard as he does to throw a slower breaking ball and a slider and that high velocity fastball that he's got?
Kev, good question. I mean, I think,
you sounded shocked.
I mean, just like, yeah, from a pitching standpoint, it's a good question. Yeah. I don't think so, man. This is what these guys do, right? This is what they do. So I think when you have this, you're always trying to see how your stuff pairs with one another, right? So it's, you know, you got the hard fastball, you got the hard slider. I think that you can almost look at it like what Kikuchi's done with his breaking ball a little bit, where he has a little bit of a slower one. You need something to get hitters off of that same velo. So, I mean, I don't think it is. This is what these guys do for a living. They work their tails off at it. I think it's actually a good thing for Nate to have those three.
Last question for us. It's been pretty apparent in, I would say, during this run of success from your starting rotation that Danny, and I'm not taking anything away from Alejandro Kirk, but Danny Jansen's been really good behind the plate, John. And I'm just wondering, we focus on his offense a lot. Has he taken his defensive game to a different level this year?
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think catchers get overlooked sometimes when pitchers are doing really well. I think he really has. I think he takes so much pride in game planning and understanding what pitchers are doing well and what they need to work on, and then throwing that into a hitter's, you know, strengths or weaknesses. He's really evolved from that standpoint. Pitchers have a ton of trust in him, ton of trust in Kirky as well. But Jano, for sure, he's kind of taken that game, you know, that part of his game to a different level this year. He's really confident and comfortable with what he's doing with the staff.
John, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so
Great
much.
Stuff, buddy.
Go get him tonight. Thanks
good
again.
Luck.
You bet, guys. All Take right. Care. Thanks for having me. See you soon.
See ya.
John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And 7:07 will be the first pitch tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. A reminder that Alec Manoah obsessed the final chapter. Chapter 6 goes tonight as well on Blue Jay Central. I know that Danny Jansen's a dude that's especially close to John Schneider, because basically John Schneider's known him for his entire professional career.
Absolutely. He's doing a really nice job. Like, he is doing everything they're asking and then some. I just like that Danny has come to the realization that you can't just be a defending catcher. You have to do both. Have something that you do well offensively. If that is get the foot down and get the head out and hit homers, so be it. I like that. I like that both sides have sort of stepped back and said, I'll give you a little opportunity to figure this out. Because Kirky stepped up last year, sort of gave Danny a breather, allowed him to go figure out who he is offensively. Now, with what Danny's doing defensively and offensively, and I know he's not hitting for high average, but a lot of people don't seem to care about that. So, yeah, he's turned into, it would be okay if Danny was to catch 4 or 5 days a week. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Absolutely.
And I do think, just listening to John talk there with Dalton, there's some unknowns there. Like, it is, I'm not sure they really know what they're going to get. I'm sure they got as many smart people trying to break that down as they can. That's why he's tried separating. But there's a lot going on there. And I'm assuming if they had a better option right now to give him a little bit of a breather, they'd do it.
I mean, they're winning. They're scoring enough runs.
Yeah,
a lot of their underlining.
I'm not sure that has anything to do with Dalton. That's not Dalton's.
No.
That's not Dalton's fault.
But what I'm saying is it's a lot easier to stick with the plan when at the end of the day you're winning ball games because you're starting pitching. Correct. Because your starting pitching is. I loved what John said about the starting pitching. Give us a chance to get our offense going.
Absolutely. First time through the order. You got to match the other guy. You do that. That second time through seems to be when the Jays lineup just sort of has better at bats. And because they are what they are offensively, with especially some MVPs in there, that's why you see them starting to score more runs. But again, this is why I said this is at the beginning of the year, and you rolled your eyes at me when I said, you have no idea what you're getting from Dalton. This is not Arizona. You have no idea. And now they stuck him in the cleanup spot.
I did not roll my eyes.
You did a little.
No.
Hitting's hard. So that's I understand what they're saying, that he's a great dude and teammates are cheering for. Okay, fine. He's still hitting .98. Like, they sort of, that'll only last so long until you have to actually start doing some things that you're supposed to be doing, right?
And here's why
you're hitting in the order is a big part of that.
Yeah, here is why I felt that way about Dalton Varsho and continue to feel that way about Dalton Varsho.
I feel that way too.
He's here for 4 or 5 years.
No question.
This isn't a guy they acquired at the age of 32 to come in and take them over the top. Now, they traded pretty good prospect to get him. But again, as I tell people, pretty good prospect who probably wouldn't help the Jays win this year.
No.
I mean, he wouldn't.
He ain't DH'ing here.
Exactly.
He ain't catching here.
Exactly. So, and that's why I was at the time of the deal. That's why I really liked it. I've been very clear about this. I really want good outfield defense this year. I think that's hugely important with this team. I think I'm going to be proven right. I will stick if Dalton Varsho is going to give me what he's given me defensively, and George is going to stay healthy, knock on wood, playing right field, and give him defensively. I'll figure out. Sounds dumb, but I'll figure out a way to score runs.
Listen how John started the conversation when we asked him about Dalton. He mentioned what he does other than the offensive side of the ball. He made it a point to say that to everybody, to walk him off the cliff a little bit. The bottom line is, it's a baseball player, Jeff. You're a hitter first. You can spin that defensive running the bases thing all you want to. Mm. You are a hitter first.
Well,
period. End of story.
And I think
so.
I think most players would feel that.
I'm with you. The defense in the outfield is really, really elite. He is an offensive player first.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. You can leave questions. You can leave comments for Kevin Barker.
And Jeff.
And for Kevin Barker, this is your part of the show. I'm just like the conductor here.
Why do you butt in all the time then, if it's my part of the show? It's true.
That's a good question.
We like your input. That's why. It makes the show better.
And if you want to drop some suggestions for lead-in music, too.
I'm not sure I'm going to take them.
Like, you know, we've got to come up. Like, do you want country music? Do you want... like some sort of country sounding thing.
Why is it country music?
Well, I mean, it seems to be you like country music.
I like a lot of music. All music. All music.
Sherry in Brampton took advantage of the outline. Go ahead.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone have as much fun as Kevin Barker at work. Mm-hmm. My question for you guys how do you think the Jays will fare in May with against many tough teams and 17 games in a row? Thanks. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Sherry.
That is
nice. I'm taking credit for the fact that you have fun when you come in here.
Of course you take the credit for it. I mean, why wouldn't you? You have absolutely nothing to do with that. I promise you, and people listening, no. 17 in a row in May. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Before that.
Look at this. Braves, Yankees.
I understand that. But before that, they have 2 days off in May. That was my point. I was trying to figure out when they were sprinkling because I think there's a rule you can only have so many days in a row at the big league level. I'm not exactly sure what that
I
day
think it's 21
maybe
or it's, I,
yeah, maybe
I,
it's somewhere
guessing.
In there. It's not, a ton. I mean, no. The minor league, you have 6 months in a row. They would care less about you. So, yeah, I think because it's a tremendous question. It is a great question. And I think, again, it gets back to their starting pitching. A starting pitcher plays once a week. So it really has nothing to do with them, right? As long as they're good,
all right. Let's.
They'll give the everyday guys enough days off.
Let's just walk through the schedule, though. Okay, because Sherry makes a great point.
She
so this
does.
Is the
that
May
is
schedule
a tremendous
in
May. Question.
Let's just go in order. 4 games against the Red Sox at Fenway.
Yeah.
3 against the Pirates in
Pittsburgh.
First place Pittsburgh
and
Pirates.
And a day off.
2 against the Phillies. Day off.
Yeah. And then
three,
that's.
Then this. Now this is.
At home.
3 against the Braves at home.
4 against the Yankees.
4 against the Yankees at home.
3 against the Orioles at
home.
3
against the Orioles at home.
And then you go on the road for 4 against Tampa and 3 against Minnesota.
And then you got
and
the
then you
Brewers.
Have a day off and then 2 against the Brewers at home. Yeah, it's no joke of a schedule in May. Like, you're going to have to get after some people with some pitching.
Those 2 day offs give you a chance to maybe take a
you
bit of a breath with your rotation.
You need to adjust a pin spot, right? You abuse a guy in a pin, maybe that a starter come out in the second or third inning. That's when you would adjust that. They have enough because of the way their rotation has been so good lately, and you would think they will continue to do that.
Yeah.
And offensively, it's their at-bats are starting to get much better, right?
And the other thing is you will
for the
have –
most part.
Sure, and you will also have a better
and
read.
And they play really good defense.
You'll also have a better read on where some of if you do need to option guys and bring a guy up, you have a better read by me than
and
you
Nate
do now.
And Nate Pearson might come into the mix here too, which is a big deal.
Oh, we're going to go all the way to Alberta. Bob in Edmonton.
How long do you think Kikuchi's going to go there, Barker? And is Jeffy biting his tongue just waiting for him to get lit up so he can say, I told you so? The chi is on a flow.
The what? The chi is on a flow?
I'm not sure.
The chi is on a flow.
Okay. I thought that was something the kids are saying these days, and I didn't know where to go with it.
Don't go anywhere.
Probably not. I'm not biting my... Kevin, am I biting my tongue about you saying... It's not like I'm the only one who didn't have a lot of faith
in him.
Well,
there's a lot of people, and it was warranted. Like, he wasn't real good. He was doing a lot of things that's not working, like abusing the cutter, which is not a good pitch. But if you throw 96 to 99 with a high-octane velocity, now all of a sudden you can abuse 90-91, right? You can miss with that because you start opening up the front side. How many lefties in baseball throw that hard? It's rare.
There's
not many, right? It's very rare that you face that. So the first thing out of a hitting coach's mouth is, you better get it going. This dude's got a little hair on it, and he's got confidence in when he throws it. That's a big deal. So I'm gonna stay on the side of, I think he's okay. As long as they don't start getting too frisky with allowing him to face them 3 times through the order. Like, it's okay, depending on what the scoreboard says, to let him go 2 or 3 batters into that 3rd time through. And that's about it.
The only thing I'm waiting to say
is... Don't get crazy with that, but I think he's good.
The only thing I'm waiting to say I told you so about is when Jose Berríos goes to the All-Star game. Then I'll say I told you so.
I don't.
Even though I did kind of take 1 foot off the bandwagon there. I was like.
I think that was after the WBC game. You were like,
that scared
me. I may want to rethink
that scared
what I'm talking.
That scared me.
Well, it did everybody, including Pete Walker, John Snyder, Ross
Although,
Atkins.
Again, as Pete said, and he did make a point, you go back and look at that game. And I mean, he was asked to throw pitches that the Jays would not ask him to throw. Now,
all you have
still
to do,
you're
throwing them. Yeah. I can shake. There's no pitch timer in the WBC. Shake it off. That gets back to that.
Jays missed George Kirby in this series.
Yeah, he's really good too. But they're getting that guy tonight, which is not going to be the easiest get. You got to be short and quick. Don't change anything. Just think short and quick. Throw the barrel at the ball. Don't worry about where it goes or how hard you hit it. That's all you're telling yourself. Throw the barrel at the ball. If I can get myself centered enough, Chipper Jones, that I can throw the barrel at the ball, I'll have a decent chance. This dude's elite. He has elite stuff. Secondary, arm angle, it's hard to pick up, late bite, Bugs Bunny changeup, which has been getting hit a little. Stay within yourself. Swing at a strike. Throw barrel at ball.
The music means it's time to put a wrap in another week.
I nailed that week.
You did. We'll be back, though, for Blue Jays talk following tonight's game, and we will be back Monday as well. 10 to noon Eastern on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, 360, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Have a great weekend.